got their old pieces calling in the bonds of love we meet for the world anew.
Welcome to Muffin Talk.
Kia ora and welcome to Muffin Talk. Muffin Talk is a weekly radio program to which I invite guests to talk about their work and their passion for issues on community programs, social justice, Bible studies, or the Catholic Church. My interviews are done in the studio of Planet FM or via Zoom. Today, I have invited Father Emil Frisch to a Zoom recording for a broadcast. Father Emil, a very warm welcome and hi to my talk radio program.
Thank you. Kia ora.
Father Emil is a Mill Hill father and the parish priest of East Coast Base Catholic Parish in Auckland. He was born in the Netherlands but grew up in Northland in the northern part of New Zealand. Since being a Mill Hill father, he has worked in East Malaysia, England and the United States and now in the Diocese of Auckland. Father Emil, the Mill Hill fathers have a long history in Aotearoa, New Zealand. Can you tell us more about this order?
Indeed, Mill Hill was founded in 1866 in England, and we've been in New Zealand since 1886, So a few years before my birth. But Mill Hill has really just the start of it maybe is a good thing. Then Cardinal Vaughan, Herbert Vaughan. He was Bishop of Westminster, Cardinal Archbishop of Westminster, wanted to start a missionary order. And he mentioned this to the bishops' conference, and they thought he was a bit cuckoo, but he didn't give up. And when he was on his travels, he saw this piece of land there in northwest London, Mill Hill, actually, that's where we get the name from. And he went to talk to the owner, and no, he didn't want to sell, but he didn't give up asking. And one time on one of his travels, he took a statue of St. Joseph with him all wrapped up and got talking to this farmer and said he still didn't want to sell. But the Cardinal Vaughan asked, can I leave this with you and I'll pick it up on the way back? Be too much for me to carry. And so on the way back, he stopped there and... The farmer actually asked him, are you still wanting to buy this land? And he said, yes. And so the full title of the Mill Hill Fathers really is the Society of St. Joseph for Foreign Missions.
Oh, wonderful.
And that's how it was started. And yeah.
And we're in the year of St. Joseph now.
Yes, yes. So a big time to say thank you to St. Joseph and for all the wonderful Mill Hill guys who have been here serving in New Zealand, and there's only three of us left, and I'm the youngest.
But the Mill Hill Fathers have contributed immensely also to the Maori language, to the community, especially up north. And when I think of Father Mikaere Ryan, who wrote dictionaries, Maori dictionaries, yes, that students of the Maori language learn. That's wonderful.
Oh, yes, he's an amazing man and still at his age, getting to 90, still has energy and enthusiasm to reprint all the prayer book, the mass books and all that. He's still doing it.
Yeah,
yeah, great man.
Was that part of the mission of the Mill Hill Fathers to learn about the culture and the countries they went to?
Oh, yes, yes. They did that here in New Zealand, and for me, when I was appointed to East Malaysia, to Sarawak, and yes, I was sent 350 miles up the Baram River. I don't know what that is in kilometers yet.
Yeah.
And yes, I had to learn the Kenya language and then some of the Kayan and then the Iban when I was moved to another set of people. And yeah.
Oh, that is wonderful. And it's great if you know the language of the people, then it's so much easier to also understand their thinking, not just the language, but the thinking also.
Right, and their culture and all their history. And it was really, I mean, they were very patient because, you know, having to learn another language, sometimes the pronunciation isn't always right. And it could, the word could have a different meaning altogether, which I had a few times. I sort of heard them laughing during a sermon. I thought, what are they laughing for? And I asked later on, then I got to understand why.
But you grew up in two languages. Did you grow up bilingually?
Yes, because being born in Holland, and I was five when we came over here. So I can, not the proper Dutch, as they call it, but the dialect from Limburg in the south of Holland. And Mum and Dad spoke that all the time. So us four boys could speak it and understand it. And and then having to learn English at the school, convent school in Dagevold. And that was interesting too, seeing the reaction of the kids there and to our pronunciation. But all good.
So why did you decide to become a Mill Hill father? You wanted to go to the mission, or was it that you met people?
Yes, I was meeting another priest, and Father Jerry Haring, who was in Kaihu, and we were in Dagevold, and Dad got to meet him because Dad, to learn English, worked at a petrol station, and this priest rolled up in his truck one day, and they got yakking in Dutch. And a question he asked Dad was, do you go to Mass on Sundays? And Dad said, no. And the priest was very, what? You don't go to Mass? And Dad said, I can't get six people on a bicycle. But then he came to celebrate Mass at our home in Dagevold three times a year. And we all got to know him very well. And I spent some of my holidays from high school with him when he was down in Opotiki and Tikaha, down that way. And really got to know him well. But I decided I wanted to be a priest from about the age of seven. And
that's
having Father Jerry in my life was a big influence and a great inspiration. Yeah.
Yeah. It usually works with inspirations and with people that you know, that you choose a certain congregation.
Yeah, no, he was a marvelous man and still is up in heaven. I know that. He's looking after me still.
Yeah. Well, for those of you who have just tuned in, you're listening to Muffin Talk with Beate. If you miss any of our programs, please check out www.bennetaudio.org.nz/muffintalk or go to my website at www.studyjoy.nz. My guest today is Father Emil Frisch. He is a Mill Hill father and the parish priest of East Coast Base Catholic Parish. Father Emil, you mentioned already that you spent many years working overseas. And are there any experiences that you think have made a special impact on your life and your vocation?
Yes, I'm pretty sure of that. And my years in Sarawak there, just learning from the local people, you know, about their culture and why they do things in a certain way and the way that they look after one another. And that was very special. And especially, say, in times where the rice harvest was bad, how they would find other things to eat, yummy, yummy things like monkey brain and flying fox and python snake. And I grew up with all of that and got to like most of it. But it's just the way they look after each other, which is a really good thing, and the spirituality of their culture as well, and how they embraced the Catholic faith and lived it out and shared it with others. That was really a wonderful thing. And the big thing there for me would be there that in one village, which was one house, there were families there, five families that were no faith at all, really, but just praying to, gods of whatever. But then they wanted to become Catholic. And so giving up all that stuff of their past lives to fully embrace the Catholic faith, that was a real sacrifice. And for me to experience that was, a blessing.
Are there many Catholics in that area?
Oh, yeah. Either Catholic, the majority of the villages would be Catholic, and then the others would be evangelical. About five villages at that time were evangelical. But we're learning, we had to learn to get on with each other. And the kids used to see, you know, hear a boat going upriver, and they would go and look down, see, oh, there's a white man in the boat. He's a priest. There goes Satan. There goes Satan.
Oh, my God.
So I invited my driver to pull in, and the kids ran away. Satan's coming up. But no, I used to go and visit those villages too, and they saw I didn't have horns and a tail. So it was a good relationship, really good. Yeah. Yeah, so that, and another time, I think another experience I'd like to share would be the 9/11 experience during my time in New York. I was there for 18 years, and I was there for 9/11. And sitting with people from one company lost 700 and something workers because they were up on the 102nd floor of the tower. And so their families were meeting in a hotel in a ballroom, and the cardinal asked me to go there. And I led a prayer service every day at 3:00. But then I would look around to see who was sitting on their own. And one lady there was amazing. I sat with her for over an hour, not a word said, but just sitting there with her. And then she said, or asked, where was God in all of this? I didn't answer right away, and I said, you see with these people serving here, the hotel workers, what they're doing for us, God is here. Yeah, but what I need now is a God with skin on, she said to me. And that really, wow, has changed my life, that calling us who believe in God to really be Jesus alive in the world today. And she taught me so much just in that one question, in that one statement she made, and something that will stay with me for the rest of my life. Mm. Yeah.
How long did you work with the people who had lost their loved ones in that attack?
In that hotel, I was there for 3 weeks, and then I was appointed to the site, to the ground zero, as they called it. So I was there from September through to May.
Oh.
Every day serving down there. And it was with the firefighters and the policemen and praying with them and being called down into the actual pit when they found remains to pray over the remains of the people they found before they took them off to the morgue. And celebrating Mass there under that cross, so-called, as they found the steel structure looked like a cross.
Oh.
And that was put up in a certain site. I celebrated Mass there a few times under that cross around midnight or whatever, and people would come and join for Mass, and yeah.
So the people were very grateful for the support they received. It was not that they were angry at faith, and when you like what the lady said, she was only disappointed and was searching for answers.
Searching for God, yes, that a God she could sing, she could touch, she could embrace. And I think, you know, more and more during those days, people came to see, yes, that God is with them, was with them, and to make that a reality in their lives too. Yeah.
Last week on the radio program, we talked about miracles, and I asked Brother Kieran about miracles, and he said when people might say, yeah, COVID-19 is a curse, but then the miracle is that within such a short time, a vaccine was found. But of course, it's nothing that is perfect, but it's a miracle that there's something found that can relieve the pain.
Right.
Looking at the positive.
Yeah. And that's similar to what we had there at 9/11 with all that disaster and all those who died, to see how people were working together, you know, to comfort one another and for those who had lost everything and people helping out. And that was really very, very, very good. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Father Emil, I understand that in the United States, you also became involved in a program called Marriage Encounter. Can you tell us more about this program, what it is about?
It's a fantastic program, and It's all about for married couples to grow their marriage every day. You know, some people say, well, you know, I fell in love with this one. I say, well, if you fall in love, you can fall out too. Love takes work. Love is a decision, a daily decision to be made. And for the Marriage Encounter Weekend with Chuck, Father Chuck Gallagher, who founded all this and put this program together, it's a weekend experience. And there is presentations given by the three couples on the team and a priest, and talking about, you know, how do we describe our feelings in a situation, say when we're arguing, let's just stop a minute. What's my strongest feeling in this argument? And then to try to understand the spouse's feeling. And so as a follow-on from that, they have these dialogues, daily dialogue they're invited to do, to write and to share, you know, the feeling in that. And for the priest too, it's okay. For me to talk about feelings, it wasn't something that came naturally right at the beginning, but I do my dialogue with a couple every week still. And yes, been over Zoom and all this and been fantastic. But it's a real reminder of who we are, that God is love. And God is very central in our lives when we open our hearts to him. And as couples, husband, wife, to open their hearts to their spouse every day. And for the priest to his people, you know, the people we're serving. And that's a decision I have to make every day as I stand before the cross in my room every morning, thanking God for the gift of that day, for the way that he is loving me, that I may have that strength and that courage to love him too in the same way. So the Marriage Encounter Weekend is a wonderful, wonderful movement throughout the world, and invite couples to just Google it, marriageencounter.com, and
Do you think that could be, that program could be widened up to, because it seems like it's a lot about communication and about understanding other person's feelings about certain things. Do you think that it could also be widened, that you say it's communication between friends or even between other people? Because I think that the way that you describe it, it seems like you yourself can also grow when you help the couples. And there might be people who say, well, I don't know why the people are always angry at me. Maybe these people could, you know, it could be something to improve communication in general.
It does. It's all about communicating, yes, but, you know, from the heart as well. That's the big part of it too. And that's why, you know, not to judge people, but to talk, communicate, you know, what's the feeling in all of this? You know, why are you angry with me? What, you know, could you explain that so I can understand? And that helps a great deal, yeah. Yeah, and it, you know, it's been, well, with COVID now, some countries are doing it virtual weekends, presenting weekends, but looking forward to getting back into it, to do it, say, even trying within the parish.
Yes.
And, you know, we have them about three or four. We used to have them in the Auckland Diocese, but a year. But we've got to get, you know, be patient because of the restrictions that we are under. But to keep thinking about it and wanting to give it a go.
And how do you become, you are a leader of these marriage encounters, is that right?
I present weekends, yes, with couples, with the team couples, yes. And, I made my weekend in the United States, in New York, and served with a couple from Long Island as the local leadership team there. And then we had the national meetings, and from there I was selected with Tony and Kathy as the U.S. leadership team. And then it was for 2.5 years. And then we were, three of us were selected as the world leadership team for 5 years. And oh man, that was a wonderful privilege and a wonderful blessing too, to travel the world to experience other cultures presenting the weekends and the richness of it all and the joy in their lives. And it makes a big difference in the person's life, in a couple's life. Really does.
And if you do it worldwide, you'll see all the cultural differences between the communications. What might be accepted in the United States might not be accepted in countries like Japan or Korea or India.
Right, but they teach us too how to handle all this and how to take it to heart and to learn from them. And that was the beautiful part of it, learning from these cultures.
Yeah. And what kind of training does somebody have to do in order to be part of the program?
Well, to experience a weekend first, and then if this is what they really wanting to do, there is another training weekend. They call the deeper weekend, and that's where I learned more on my deeper than I sort of, I was too nervous, I think, on my original weekend. But on the deeper weekend, yes, I really came to understand more of what I was supposed to be doing. And that training continues throughout. It's not just the one weekend training. It continues throughout, yeah.
Yeah.
And your relationship with the other couples who are presenting weekends and, yeah.
So what you're doing now, what you said, what you're doing via Zoom, is that a weekend retreat or is it this a regular encounter?
No, what they're doing at the moment, yeah, the regular weekend, but in a different way because, you know, you're not together physically.
Mm-hmm.
But they're doing that. But what I'm doing with that couple in Philadelphia is part of what you learn on the weekend to dialogue, to have a question and then say, what's my strongest feeling as I look at this? Like we could say, you know, Lent is coming up soon. What can I learn from that? And what's my strongest feeling as I think about this? Mm. And that's what Tony, Kathy, and I do every week, not just on that question, but they send a question 1 week, I send them on the following week. And
Can you give us an example of something typical that comes up all the time in these marriage encounters?
The dialogue?
Yes.
Well, it depends what's going on in life. It's very life-centered. Mm-hmm. Like for Tony and Kathy at the moment, Tony is undergoing chemo for cancer. And so questions about this, how am I handling this? What difference is that making to my life as a husband to Kathy and father to the children?
Mm-hmm.
And say, you know, I, from my experiences, say in a parish, I would pick out something and, you know, being appointed, newly appointed to a parish, what should be my focus? And for me, my focus is to listen and learn and not to throw my own ideas out on the table, say, hey, now get on with it. No, I don't change anything in about a year because I want to learn and why people are doing things in a certain way so I can learn from that myself. And
then you can put in your suggestions from your experience and then together and it'll be stronger.
Yeah, that we, you know, that we're all focusing on something, not just being told what to do, but what can we do and how can we do this? How can we, you know, together?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now you're feeling happy back at home in New Zealand?
I am, yes. It was being away, 44 years?
That's a long time.
It was, but...
But you've always felt as a New Zealander, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I came back in time to spend time with my mum, which was fantastic. I buried Dad before I went to the United States, and I buried Mum after coming back from the States. So but to have that time with her was very special, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, thank you so much. Father Emil. That is really, you have so much to share, and I'm looking forward to hearing a lot more about all the different things that, little anecdotes that happened during your 44 years outside of New Zealand. And you already told us stories about your life as a child in New Zealand and growing up with two languages, which is always, I think, widens already your horizons, that you grew up between two cultures with two languages, and you understand how it is when you are a child and you go to a school that has a different language and you have to learn it first.
Oh, yes.
And as you said, Limburg is not just Holland with the high Dutch, but it has a strong dialect, doesn't it?
It does indeed. Oh, yes.
But you might be able to understand some Afrikaans also.
Oh, yes. Yep, I could read that when I was over there for one of our meetings with Marriage Encounter, and I could read a lot of that. It was very similar, yeah.
Wonderful. So thank you very much for this interview. And I will just say a couple of things on the next two programs that we are having from Study Joy, from Titiponamu Study in Joy. In March, we'll have a four-part series with Brother Kieran Fenn. The series will be on the 1st, the 8th, the 15th, and the 22nd of March from 7 to 8:30 p.m. It's online. And the topic is the Passion Narratives. So four sessions with the four Gospels. And we start the last days of Jesus, before Jesus' death. And so that's the Passion Narratives. And on Saturday, the 13th of March, from 7 to 9 p.m., Titiponamu Study and Joy is organizing an event together with the St. Mark's Coptic Orthodox Church in Birkdale, Auckland's North Shore. The evening will include a presentation by Nick Bird on rock-hewn churches in Ethiopia. These are ancient churches in the rocks. It is amazing. And the event will take place at the beautiful Coptic Orthodox Church. This event had to be postponed twice already because of lockdowns, but I hope that this time we will make it happen. We're all looking forward to listening to Nick Bird, to seeing his wonderful pictures, and to be in the beautiful Egyptian church, St. Mark's Coptic Orthodox Church in Birkdale. And for all events are on the website at www.studyjoy.nz. And for more information and registration, please contact info@studyjoy.nz. Kia kaha, keep safe. And thank you very much, Father Emil, for having joined us for this program. Thank you.
Thank you all. God bless you. 'Cause this day is the day for the brand. Of love we meet for the